Well, again, if you're not already there, go ahead and turn to Luke again. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, our passage again will be verses 1 to 13. Verses 1 to 13. Beginning in verse 1, God says to us this. It says, "And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'Well, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, Do not bother me. The door's already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Well, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. You will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? If he's asked for an egg, you will not give him a scorpion, will he? Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I pray we come by faith, actually hearing your instruction here and obeying, because we believe you. Lord, we believe you are our perfect Heavenly Father and you love us. And you desire to answer our prayers. And so we come by boldness before your throne, and that boldness comes only from Christ. Because we come in his name, or we come in his shed blood that makes us right with you. But you've done that. And so we can come boldly into your holy presence and beseech you and ask you, Lord, to give us your Spirit. You can tell us that very specifically. Give us your Spirit to open our ears. Not just physically, but in the soul. That we might hear the word of our God and our Savior. And we might receive it by faith. And we might actually be taught by you. And we might learn and we might receive wisdom and understanding from you. And because we receive it not just in our heads by knowledge, but by faith in the heart and in the mind of a man, ourselves and a man, that we would bear fruit. Long-lasting fruit, that this would be embedded deep within us, and we would, from what you say to us, it would resonate within us, and we would begin to live it out day in and day out. We would trust you. We would hear you, and we would obey. So, Father, teach us as only you can about how to pray. Humble us, that we might even be able to see that we need to be taught. Give us a love for you that, Lord, we definitely want to know how you want us to pray. And do this so that we might pray according to your will with such power and effectiveness that you are lifted up. The results will be your kingdom coming, not ours. The results will be your will being done and not ours. In all of our community and beyond, as far as we can imagine, they would know you and they would worship you. For that is what you're worthy of, Father. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're keeping count, which I know some of you are, this makes the sixth time that we come back to this passage, right? I think this is a record for me, pretty sure. Don't think I've ever divided a single passage up into six parts or spent this much time here, right? But I've landed here and we've stayed here for such a while because of what I've been saying all along. This is so important. Such importance, teaching here by the Lord, because, well, it's about prayer. Jesus is not only teaching us about prayer, but teaching us how to pray. And because prayer is so important for the Christian, we've just let God wash us in this truth, I pray, for a good while. And it is important for a Christian. It was Calvin that said, I noticed in some of his writings, it just stood out to him. He said, prayer is the activity that the Christian ought to be most concerned about. Think about that. Prayer is the activity the Christian ought to be most concerned about. So that's pretty important, and I tend to agree with him on this, as you can probably tell, as we've been in this for a while. So again, Jesus teaches us here, and we just want to learn not only that we should pray, we hear that a lot, but how? Now, as we come back to the passage today, we come to the part, you know, beginning in verse 5 where we pick up today, the teaching of Jesus changes a bit. And all I mean by that is before, everything was so direct. Jesus just told us and taught us how to pray. When you pray, say this, right? I mean, he doesn't leave us any ignorance. He didn't leave us in ignorance. He tells us very clearly how we should pray. You know, we've been walking through that. And as we hopefully receive that, we've seen, well, Jesus has taught us how to pray by praying to the right person, right? To our Heavenly Father, right? He's taught us to pray more rightly by teaching us to pray with the right purpose. As, you know, we begin here, and I think this, if we begin here, we'll stay here the whole time where we should. That is, when we pray, we see God's kingdom. We see God's glory. We seek God's will and not our own. That's the purpose for which we come to Him by prayer. And then, as we've been several weeks in, He's taught us how to pray with the right petitions. When we do ask, we bring our list, right? What should that list contain? Well, we saw pray for our needs, you know, those needs that are true needs, what's necessary to live out the life God's calling us to. That, and then we're supposed to, you know, our daily bread, that's our needs. Pray for forgiveness of sins, so important, even for the believer, so that we get washed, get our feet washed by Jesus and stay in close communion with God and forgive others. And then last week we saw we need God's protection from evil and our temptation to go into evil, right? Both outward from the evil one and from inward, our old man and being tempted. So God, keep us from that as you lead us, right? Now again, that brings us to verse 5 and Jesus is teaching here, and he changes the method he's teaching here because he didn't just tell us directly. He's actually going to teach us here with a parable and an analogy, going to both, same purpose, and he's going to teach us here, well, I've just titled this, how to pray more rightly by praying with the right persistence. Praying with the right persistence. Jesus teaches us through these things here. And just so you know, the passage we're going to cover, 5 through 13 today. We will come to the end of this passage. And as we go through this, I'm going to cover it like this. We're going to look at, well, what do you mean? Right? What do I mean? Right persistence. We're going to explore that just a little bit. We always have to start there, right? What do we mean? Let's make sure we're all on the same page. And then we're going to look at three reasons why we should pray with the right persistence. And those three reasons are given to us by Jesus himself, right? He's the one that gives us these reasons. So let's first attack it by looking at, well, what do you mean pray with the right persistence? Well, he teaches us this with this parable beginning in verse 5 through verse 8. And you notice this parable is about a story about a man who has a friend who comes to him from a journey. The man's been on a journey, and he comes to him, and he just happens to arrive late at night, right? It's midnight when he gets to his other friend. And when he comes to his friend to visit him in his home, you know, to stay with him, and the guy's going to receive him, he's got nothing to give him. He's got no bread. He finds himself without bread to feed his guests. Now, you got to understand, in this context, in this culture, hospitality is everything. I mean, live and breathe it, especially at this time. But this is just always a principle, this hospitality. So to not have something to feed your guests that come to you, it would be a great shame. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, right? You got to have something to feed the man. So he finds himself in this predicament. It's midnight. I've got nothing to lay before this man. And mind you, there's no all-night grocery stores. There's no convenience stores on every corner. So what's his options? Well, I'll go to my friend. He'll help me, right? Because I'm in dire straits. So that's why he goes at midnight. And he goes to his friend at midnight, and he's knocking on the door. And you understand they have these doors to the property, the big wooden doors or metal or whatever, and he's knocking for him to give me some bread. I have a need. You're my friend. Would you have compassion on me and give him some bread? Well, the friend inside is in no mind to help, is he? Why? Well, he's like, man, the door's shut up. It's locked. Everybody's in bed, right? Me and the kids, and understanding that culture, they probably were in bed together. It was very common for families to sleep on one big mat, right? Mother, father, children, all of them. So imagine that. And if he got up, what was going to happen? And he stirred around for bread, and he opened the big doors and made all this noise, and he's in bed with the kid. Everybody's up, and he doesn't want that, right? So he says, go away. I'm not going to give you anything. And Jesus just very abruptly says, I tell you the truth. Even though this man wouldn't give him bread out of compassion, that's what I put that in there, because he's your friend, right? I mean, if you're a friend, you're going to help your friend, right? Out of compassion. But he said, even though he wasn't convinced with this, his friendship didn't go that far, only go so far. Even though that didn't happen, I tell you, because he persisted and asked, he got up and he'll give him some bread, right? Man, go away. I'll give you bread if you'll go away and stop. Well, what's the lesson? Well, first, and I'll explain this, but the lesson is Jesus is teaching us, right, that when we pray, we're asking, we should be persistent, because persistence will pay off, right? Now, I got to explain that, but he's basically just teaching us, right, to, when we pray, to stay persistent in our prayers. And I'll get to this in a minute, but he's teaching from the lesser to the greater. Be persistent. It's the same lesson that he gives, we'll see later on in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, when Jesus says this, at all times we ought to pray and not lose heart or grow faint or weary, right? At all times we ought to pray and never lose heart. You know, what that means is don't give up, right? You pray and pray and pray until you get what you ask for. It's Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, I believe, when the prophet cries out, give him no rest. Who? God, right? Give him no rest until he answers your petition. In that verse, it was until he makes Jerusalem the praise of the nations, right? So don't stop. You keep asking him until he does this. It's the same call. Pray and don't give up. Now, I have to explain this, though. The reason we're to be persistent in our prayers to God is not for the same reason that persistence paid off for the man in the story, right? Jesus isn't saying that. Jesus isn't telling us, keep praying and keep praying until you get what you want, because you'll wear God out. And eventually, God is just going to be annoyed with you so much. Here's what you asked for. Go away. That's not what he's teaching. What he's teaching is from the lesser to the greater. Even though this man, he's a sinful man, and the friendship didn't matter to him enough to help, because he annoyed him enough, he was displeased with his persistence, he gave him what he wanted. How much more will your persistence with the Heavenly Father pay off, who's pleased with your persistence? You understand? God desires you to come, right? So how much more will this Father who's in heaven, who wants you to come and encourages you to come and tells you to pray and keep on praying, how much more will that persistence pay off? And by pay off, I just mean you will receive what you ask for. So Jesus is teaching here to pray with the right persistence, and the right persistence is just to keep on praying at all times and don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. And we'll get to this in a minute, but we all know from experience we can grow weary in our prayers. That's why we need encouragement. All right? That's why Jesus needs to tell us this. Pray with persistence. Now, as I say that basically what we mean here, why? I want to give you, I've already hinted at one, but I want to give you, lay before you three reasons that Jesus gives us that we should pray with persistence. And when I say three reasons, they're really three promises, and they're three promises that will encourage you. They should, if you're seeing them rightly, that will stir you to pray, right? If you believe them. I want to, just a side note, I give my side notes here every once in a while. Just think how good God is to give us these encouragements to pray. What do I mean by that? He didn't have to. It should be good enough for our God and here our Master and our Lord Jesus to tell us to pray and not give up. And that's all we really need. Right? He's in authority. He's given us his instruction. That's what we ought to do. If we believe him and we trust him, then we should do that. But he doesn't stop there. He's so loving and gives us so many encouragements so that we will come into this thing, this prayer that he wants us to, right? Again, just because God says so, we know that's enough, but Jesus knows how weak we are. He knows how we're but dust, we're but flesh, and he gives us so much encouragement to do so. Another side note with that, prayer is one of those things in the scriptures that God, Jesus and God gives much encouragement for. And that ought to tell us how important it is. That he gives multiple encouragements to come into it. So what are these though? What are these promises? Well, the first one's just so straightforward, right? We ought to pray with persistence because God's promised to answer our prayers. We ought to pray with persistence because God has promised to answer our prayers. That's basically what Jesus is saying here in verses 9 and 10, right? He says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give anything because he's his friend, because he's persistent, he'll give up and give him as much as he needs. And then he says, and I say to you, Jesus, God in the flesh, is saying to us. So he's not just saying to the disciples at this point in time, which he was, but he's saying to the disciples for all time, and he is saying to you right now, if you're his, right now, he's saying this from his word, right? It's active, it's living. He said, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened for you. Why? Because, right? And I'm going to put in a paraphrase before I get to what he says. This is the way God's ordained it. This is how God's ordered things. What? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks shall be opened to them. That's the way God's made it to be. He calls it to come to pass, right? That's why James says you don't have because you don't ask, right? God's ordained it that you ask. Those who ask receive. It's the promise by God here, by Christ, that If we will pray and ask, we will receive. It's God's promise to us. And Jesus plainly tells us that here, very directly. And the reason he tells us here is he's stirring us to pray, right? Why is he telling us? To encourage us to do this very thing. I say to you, if you'll just ask, you'll receive. Therefore, be stirred to pray. Is there anything that should stir us more to prayer than the promise by God himself that if we ask, he'll give it to us? I mean, if there was some magical tree or rock out there that you knew every time you asked, you got what you asked for, would you not be out there all the time? So it's just, God has promised. And it's, if we believe this, whoo, not only will it stir us to pray, but how? With confidence, right? With faith. That's important. Again, this is why Jesus is given to us. Is it important that when we pray with faith? Yes, it's an important part of the equation, and I hate to use the word equation, but that's the way God, again, has ordained it, that when the man who prays with faith will have his prayers answered, right? We've got to bring in other passages of Scripture to inform us. And James has warned us, don't let that doubting man think you're going to get anything when you ask, right? If you pray and you doubt, no, it's prayer with faith. And so Jesus, to stir us to pray and to stir us to pray with confidence, that's what faith is, right, in this instance, right? I got confidence. God, I'm already praising you because I know you're going to give me what I asked for because you promised. Calvin said it like this. He said, nothing is better adapted to excite us to prayer than a full conviction that we shall be heard. And isn't that your truth? And he says, those who doubt can only pray in an indifferent manner. And prayer unaccompanied by faith is an idle and unmeaning ceremony. Pause. Is that not the truth? And we know that from experience. When we're not praying by faith, it is an empty, idle ceremony. And it is indifferent. And we're going through the motions. Calvin goes on to say, accordingly, Christ, in order to excite us powerfully to this duty, not only enjoins what we ought to do, but promises that our prayer shall not be fruitless. Why should you pray and be persistent in your prayer? Because God has promised to answer your prayers. Does God not always keep his promises? As good little Christians, we know that answer is always yes, right? But the question is, do we believe? Do we believe? This will excite us in our prayers. And I ask God for so much more of this myself. You know, I told you, I've been telling you through this. I've been praying the whole long. God, teach me how to pray. You go, well, Pastor, don't you know how to pray? Yes and no, right? I know how to pray like we know. I all know how to pray, but I want God to teach me how to pray as he wants me to pray. And I know I'll be learning more and more until I get to heaven. So I'm praying, God, teach me how to pray. And one fruit he has given me through this passage is this promise. And let me tell you, when you begin to doubt and you're not feeling the confidence in your prayers, remember this promise. Go back and go, God, you said, if I ask, I will receive. And you said, if I seek, I will find. And you said, if I knock, it shall be open. You promised, therefore I come and I ask. And if you really remember this truth and this promise, it will stir you up to faith, which is so important. And as I said before, is it not true? I think it's going to be a common confession if we're all honest with each other, that we go in and out of confidence in our prayers. And we're tempted to be weak and to lose heart and go, I don't know. God, I'm going to pray this, but I don't know. But again, Jesus knows our weakness. He knows we're but flesh. He knows we're but dust. And so he gives us this promise. And I believe this is why he gives it to us in three different words, shall we say. Some will say, well, he says ask, seek, and knock, because it's three different, total different types of prayers. No, I don't believe so. I believe Jesus is just saying the same thing repeatedly in three different ways to better plant that promise deep down in our heart. I'm going to say it to you not once, not twice, but three times. It's like, Peter, do you love me? Remember? And he answers, and he asks him again, and Peter's like, God, Jesus, I love you. It's the same thing. I'm going to tell you, you will have your prayers answered. You will have what you seek found. You will have what you knock open to. It's three different ways to just continue to stir us up the confidence of prayer. Now, these terms do help us in our perspective, I think. At least they do me when I think there's just some prayer requests or some things I'm asking God for that just seem so far away. Right? Oh God, they're way out there. But you said if I seek, I'll find. And then there are those prayer requests, and there's one right now that I'm laboring in, that it seems shut up and locked. Like the door is just welded or something. But I come to this promise and I go, God, you said if I knock, you'll be opened. And so I'm going to knock with confidence that no door, right, can be shut that you won't open. And so I ask you to give me what I seek for and what I knock for. Again, if you just, he gives us these terms in a way that if we'll receive, believe his promise, they will stir us up to pray by faith. Now, I have to clarify, don't I? Surely you've asked this question in your mind, right? Is this a blank check, right? Have I turned into a word of faith, Pastor? No. This does not mean that when you pray for a Ferrari and you keep praying for a Ferrari and you really believe that you have what your faith in your prayer that you'll get the Ferrari. No. Now, there is a, 99.99% of the time you won't get the Ferrari. There could be a way in which you pray for, it would really be God's will, right? But most of the time, why would we pray for Ferrari? We want to what? We want to spend it on our own passions, right? And just, but Jane, again, I've told you, we've warned against that. You ask and you don't have because you seek to spend it on your own passions, or you want it for yourself. This is not a blank check for that, right? No, this is a blank check for all things we might pray that would be according to God's will. All right, 1 John 5:14-15. We know that when we ask, he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, then we have what we've asked for. And I've just paraphrased that a bit, but that's the promise to us, is if we pray according to God's will, we will have what we ask for. And that's what you must put these together, all of Scripture, bring it together so we know what we're saying here, right? It's according to God's will. Now, of course, the question comes, what? This is where I think we struggle with doubt. What's the Lord's will? How do I know I'm praying your will, right? I don't have an answer that's going to obliterate every doubt you ever had. But listen, we can know when we're praying according to God's will. A couple of things I would tell you here. First of all, and I've been saying this through this, you know, six sermon series to this passage. How do you know you're praying according to God's will? Jesus tells us here how to pray. If and remember, I'm saying this is not vain repetition. We don't just repeat this. It's meaningless if we're just vainly repeating it. That's why we went in depth for 5 weeks of what all these prayers that Jesus is teaching about mean. But if we're praying according to that pattern, according to these things, we can know that we're praying according to God's will. And if we're praying according to God's will, we know that we will have what we ask for. And we can come boldly and pray with confidence. So he tells us how to pray according to his will. That's one. And then just two, generally speaking, is it according to what his word says? Period, right? Does it come from his word? Is that where, Calvin again said, don't rely on your blind desires for praying, right? And that's so much what we do. We think God, it's some mysterious will out there and it's really about our blind desires. He's like, no, does it originate from the word of God? If it does, then you know you're praying according to his will. And so the man that's going to pray a most according to God's will is the man who what? Who knows the word the most and seeks to live his life by it. So if you want to pray according to God's will and then have great confidence that your prayers are being heard and will be answered, you will know the word and you will seek the word because this is his will revealed. It's not a mystery. It's revealed. So, why pray persistently? He promises he will answer your prayers. Number two, time is running short and I know it. Number two, not only has God promised that he will answer your prayers, but hear me, and I hinted at this earlier, God's really promised that he wants to answer your prayers. There's a difference in that, you understand? Did you know that God has naturally inclined toward us, his people, to want to answer our prayers? Remember I said the man in the parable was displeased with persistence. Our God is pleased because he wants us to come, he wants us to ask, and he wants to give us what we need. He wants to give us what's good. He wants to. That's the lesson. It's from the analogy he gives us in verses 11 to 13. Right? Again, he goes from the lesser to the greater again, same way. Right? For he says, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if your son asks you for an egg or your child, you won't give him a scorpion, will he? Right? Then if you being evil know how to good gifts, what about your Father who's in heaven? So again, from the lesser to the greater, the lesser is earthly fathers. Generally speaking, earthly fathers, what do you want to do for your children? You want to give them good things, don't you? If they asked you for something, are you going to give them something that's going to harm them instead? No, you're going to give them and want to give them what they need and what's for their good. You're inclined that way. And Jesus is just saying, if you being evil, whoa, Jesus just called me evil, right? And if it's true, the redeemed know this and are not offended by that, right? That's praise God that he saves evil people. We're sinners and we're sinful. And even as sinful men, generally speaking, you know, we want to give good gifts to our children. It's natural and innate in us. And he's saying, if that's true, how much more will God who is in heaven, who's perfect, and his love for his children is perfect, how much more does he want to give you what you ask for? He wants to shower. He wants to lavish, does he not? Oh, he does. And if we really believe that, how much would that encourage us to come to him? What we know, our Father wants me to come. My Father wants to share. He wants to give me good things. I'm going to come and I'm going to come and I'm going to come boldly. I'm not going to fear. This is why I'm just going to tie this right back into where we started, the very first sermon in this passage. It's so important when we pray to the right person. And what I mean is in our heart and minds, who are we going before? We're going before a holy God. We are. But we're going before a holy God if you're his who has saved you by his grace and he's made you his child. And he's my Father who loves me so much I can't even comprehend it. Therefore, I know I want to go. Right? I want to go and I want to ask and I want to plead before him because he loves me and I know he's going to give me good things. So Jesus encourages us here by promising God will answer your prayer, and he wants to. Because he's the perfect Father. Last one, Jesus promises that if we pray, God will give us the Holy Spirit. Does that not just jump off the page at you when you read that for a second? Because you don't expect it, or at least you, in the natural reading of it. What do you expect him to say? Generally speaking, you probably expect him to say something like he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 when he's teaching the same lesson with a similar method, another analogy, another parable from the lesser to the greater. And at the end of it, how much more will your Heavenly Father want to give you good things? That's what we expect. But Jesus here doesn't say that. He says, the Holy Spirit. Well, why does he say that? Well, Jesus is just here actually revealing to us more explicitly the source of all good things. The source of all good things that we as believers, as children of God, need is the Holy Spirit. And that all the things that come through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is what? What do we need? We need God. And God gives us Himself, and very intimately through the person of the Holy Spirit. Right? We talk about how intimate we are with God. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit is living within us. The Holy Spirit is the source of all that we need. And this is foundational. If we really get this, when we come and pray with confidence, what we're really praying for is, God, give me the Holy Spirit. Give me more. We're not praying, if we're believers, we know the Holy Spirit's indwelling us, so we're not saying the Holy Spirit's not coming and going, right? But there is a level in which we're filled and not filled, and we're leaning on and depending on the Holy Spirit or not. And what we're praying here is, God, make me more dependent on the Holy Spirit, and may the Holy Spirit come and be the vessel to supply me all that I need. Because He is what we need. This will help us know more about how to pray according to the will of God too, right? Because you can assess a lot of things you ask for and go, is this something of spiritual nature or is this something of a fleshly nature, right? Will the Holy Spirit provide this? Ferrari. Probably not. And isn't it true that the Holy Spirit is a source of all that we need? What do we pray for? Do you ever pray for comfort? Where does that come from? Does it not come from the comforter? You ever pray for peace? I do. Where does that come from? Spirit of peace. Wisdom? Understanding? Discernment? Oh, it comes from the Spirit of wisdom. Strength, perseverance, joy. You know I could go on and on, right? Faith. How about salvation? Does it not come from the Holy Spirit? You pray for the salvation of those you love. What are you asking for? All these good things come from the Holy Spirit. God's promised us. If we'll ask, He'll give. See your dependence on God and the Spirit. Be humbled and trusting and ask. I would just say, I don't know what else would encourage us to pray like we should then, this promise. And I could say that about any of the three. And now you put all three together. Whoa! May we, brothers and sisters, be greatly encouraged and excited. You know what I mean by excited? Like stirred up to pray as God calls us to pray. God calls us to pray. Calls us to pray persistently. Faith looks like doing what He said, not just agreeing to it in your mind. Let's walk by faith. I want to end with this. I want to make you aware, remind you of opportunities to walk in faith in this call that God gives us in His Word. First and foremost, you should practice this by faith in your closet. And what I mean by in your, personally, each believer, right, needs to be a person of prayer. And you've heard me say this before, but I'll call you. You need to be resolved if you're not already. I'm not there in your prayer closet, so I don't know. But you need to be resolved. You know what I mean by resolve? Like you set this, nothing will keep me from this, right? This is a supremacy. Not all these busy, this was what I choose. You need to be resolved to spend every day significant time in prayer. Now, I'll let God tell you what significant is and what time of the day to do it. If you want to know what I do for myself, I'll gladly talk to you about it and bring you into it. I'd love to disciple you in it if you would desire that. But significant time daily, stake in the ground that will never be given up. That's ground you do not want to give the enemy. Be called to that. And then two, we have opportunities to pray together, right? The more we pray in our closets, the more we will be stirred up to pray together. And so opportunities to pray together. I want to remind you for the men, every Tuesday, every Saturday morning at 6:30, we gather to pray. And we'd love to see any of you come and pray together with us and take God up on His promises to us. Two, we do this every Wednesday night as believers, right? After a time of studying His Word, immediately afterwards we go into a time of prayer with the whole body prays. Anybody that would be so stirred to come and by faith pray with us, we'd love for you to be a part. And then three, I just remind you, every Sunday, 2 to 4, my home is open, as I've said before. That is my vision of that is not just prayer, but yes, prayer is part of that. If you need, want to come and pray, want to come and talk about the Lord, want to come and fellowship and just counsel, whatever. It doesn't have to be a time of distress. It doesn't have to be a time of some immediate need, although you're more than welcome to come in those times. But just you just want fellowship and the Lord, come. And you just want to pray. You want to pray about the kingdom and the advancement of the kingdom. We'll pray for the salvation of those you love. We'll do that together if you want. I just want you to know it's open. All right? Unless I tell you otherwise that Sunday. So just opportunities that I want you to be reminded of so that we can respond in faith to what God clearly calls us to in this passage. Let's pray. Father, teach us how to pray. Lord, it took many years for me just to see that if some of your disciples who were with you every day saw their need to be taught by you, how much more do I need to be taught by you? So bring me in and teach me and teach us all wherever we're at, wherever our lacking is. We ask you by your Spirit to lead us in that, Lord. Come and draw us into a time of prayer. Let us give us faith. Let us believe your promises. And again, may the end of this be you're exalted, your kingdom advances, and your will's being done, and you're glorious, just spreading all over the earth as the waters cover the earth, Lord. May your glory fill this world. You're worthy of this. And I know that you're going to answer that prayer because this is your will. Oh, Father, make your name great. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.